Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the French entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Matt Ritchie, Executive Vice President of Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center. And Ronnie Deutsch has built a reputation as one of the most successful tax lawyers through hard work and dedication to the needs of taxpayers. And that's coming up on segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the French entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Same to you, Marty. I'm doing fine this week. How about you?
Good, good. Cold one out here in Pennsylvania. You know, it's, but I guess that's to be expected, right? We're getting closer to the holidays, so.
Right. Yeah. Is it officially winter yet? When does that day come?
Not yet. I guess that's what, is it 21st? So we're almost there. I guess another week or two, and we're there,
right.
You know. So, but looking forward to the holidays too, Don. You know, it's
right.
Excited about that. To take a little break from everything, you know, the school and teaching and all that other stuff. It's as we say, the most wonderful time of year, you know. So
right.
Just looking forward to all that stuff.
What's wrong with our kids, too, of course.
Exactly. Well,
enjoying it with them, yeah.
The fun part of it, isn't it? You know, and I can tell you, I mean, the last 3 years have been fantastic. I think this year, you know, with my son, I remember when your kids turned three, I think we appreciate the holidays a lot more now because for the first time yesterday, he finally sat on Santa's lap. So that was a milestone because, you know, usually they freak out, you know.
They're a little scared, yeah.
Yeah, you try taking the picture, and this year he said, I want to do it. So, so that was great. So we'll have to get you that picture. Our last show, we met with Joseph Schumacher, CEO of the Goddard School Franchise Opportunity. And despite the economic climate, Goddard has continued to expand, opening 39 locations in 2009. And I think in 2010 it was 20 locations. They're on track.
Right.
It was a good show. I'm glad we finally had them on the show. It was funny, I was saying last week, I always thought we had them on the show before, and we didn't. And I'm very familiar with Goddard Systems. I've always been very impressed with them. What do you think
of
last week's
show? Not too far from you, where they're based, yeah. Pennsylvania also.
40 minutes away, King of Prussia, you know, so.
Yeah. It was a good show. It was interesting how Joe came to be associated with them. He was a franchise attorney for 20 years, and that was one of their clients. He eventually became, I guess, the top guy there. And just to remind people, Goddard School was started by Tony Martino, who's the founder of AMCO and MACO, really a legend in franchising.
Right.
And they just have things going right there. They just they've really grown that franchise over the last few years,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty impressive, their whole procedure and system and quality control program that they have for their franchisees.
Yeah, it's amazing. Listen to this, Don. It says Goddard School Systems, 360 franchise schools with more than 40,000 students in 34 states. And I think this is a franchise where you truly have to be passionate about this type of business, don't you? I mean, a lot of them you do have to have passion, but this
right.
one in particular, I think you truly have to be passionate about this type of business. I always thought it would be good for a husband and wife type of scenario, you know, and I think Joe actually mentioned that on the show, you know, husband and wife working in corporate America, kind of tired and burned out from flying from point A to point B, and they go into a Goddard system. And again, that's not the only criteria or type of franchisee they have. You know, I think he mentioned that they have A through Z for
right.
franchisees. But, you know, and I think you should have that business background, too. I think that's important in this kind of franchise.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. As with any growing franchise, once you start having that type of number, always in franchising, it's a two-way street. Seems like they have answered the question pretty well on what do they look for in a franchisee, and
right.
not everyone's always accepted to be a franchisee into the system. It really has to work on both sides, and I think, Joe, as many of our previous guests have said on the show, franchising's not for everybody. You've got to be able to follow the system. The franchisor
right.
just wants to make sure that you're going to be that type of franchisee.
Yeah. They had some training program, too, didn't they, Don?
Yeah.
I asked Joe about the training. I mean, he just went on and on about all the training that goes on in becoming a franchisee. It seems like a lifelong learning kind of process, you know?
Right.
So it was good. I'm really glad that we finally had them on the show. And, again, you know, like to continue watching their growth. And,
right.
You know, we'll bring them back, you know. So
now, is your son in preschool right now, Marty? Martin
is. He's in preschool. Yeah. He's in a, I guess it's a Presbyterian preschool, you know. And it's really cute. He, you know, they say their little prayer before their little lunch and things like
right.
that, you know. It's great. I mean, we did it, you know, again, he's so young. I mean, he's 3 years old. I think we did it more for social, you know, the social aspect because he's an
right.
only child. You know, just for him to have the opportunity to be with other children, you know, that
right.
was important to us. But, I mean, he loves it, you know. He's, I'm
just
really
important
glad.
Years for a child first mm-hmm. starting to meet friends and
yeah.
go to school and have someone other than their parents telling them what to do and And it's really a lot of fun. My kids are in first grade, and they've been out of preschool a couple of years, but they still miss preschool. It's just, you know, good memories from it.
I remember when your kids went to preschool, you know. And Joe gave some interesting stats, too. You know, it's kind of funny. I think a lot of times we assume, Don, that kids go to preschool. Not everyone, it's not required to go
right.
to preschool, you know.
Yeah.
But there have been some interesting statistics, and I can't recite them verbatim as far as what Joe said, but I know that there's some positive aspects to sending your children to preschool, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I mean, it really is a great service. It's a very important service, and, you know, we're going to keep our eye on them. We have another kind of, I guess you could say, famous franchise today on the show, don't we? I think everyone's familiar
right.
with this one. Who's on the show today?
Ronnie Deutsch. We're having Matt Ritchie, Executive VP, Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center. She became the largest tax resolution attorney in the country and got a lot of press for it a few years back, started franchising people who just wanted to own a tax center, I guess. They compete with some of the well-known tax services that people go to have their tax done, but they also have made it a full year-round service. I imagine Matt will talk about that, but we're happy to have them on.
Yeah, and listen to these accolades. See, I think they're in the top 2% of the fastest-growing franchises out of 3,000 franchise concepts in the country, and was recently ranked fourth overall on the 2010 Franchise Times Fast 55 list for its high average unit growth. You know, so they've gotten some great accolades, and I've always been familiar with Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center. You know, so yeah, it's great to finally have them on the show. You were reading a great article last week. We had such a busy show last week. We didn't get to do everything we wanted to do, you know. In fact, I think we even had to cut out some commercials. There was so much information last week. But you're reading a great article that I wanted to kind of jump back into.
Yeah, Inc. Magazine, Marty, how to give your franchise a personal touch. As a rule, entrepreneurs tend to be independent thinkers. That can often be a real strength in persevering against the myriad of challenges involved in building a business. But when an entrepreneur makes the decision to become a franchisee, they need to curtail some of that independent spirit since they are now part of a bigger organization. What that means, then, that you often need to get approval before you take action on any wild new plan, such as changing the color scheme of the franchise brand. We walk a fine line between squelching the creativity and of the franchisees and protecting the integrity of our brand, said David Lewis, the head of franchising at Express Employment Professionals, a staffing firm with some 600 franchise locations. We encourage our franchisees to express their personality without changing the core branding. Some owners in our system choose to set up their offices with traditional desks and chairs in the lobby. Others may go for hip and funky type vibe. That's okay too, but our blue logo just wouldn't look right in purple, just as the golden arches wouldn't be the same in pink. It's a good point, although that would get my 6-year-old daughter upset if we couldn't use the color pink.
I imagine so.
The good news is that there are many ways that entrepreneurs can express their creativity and still enjoy all the benefits that come from being a franchisee. The key, says Lewis, is to get approval from your franchisor ahead of time so that you can get their support, such as extra marketing muscle behind it. Franchisors want to incorporate the best practices of franchisees, he says. But if it isn't in the best interest of the organization, you risk damaging your relationship by making changes in secret. View the relationship as a partnership, and your franchisor should too. Given that advice, here are some examples of how entrepreneurs can successfully personalize their franchise. Here is a person, Marty, Natasha Nelson, founded Yogurtini, a self-serve frozen yogurt restaurant in Arizona. She offered a variety of flavors like green tea, as well as toppings such as frozen brownie bites, jalapenos that are figured would appeal to the local students from Arizona State University. But now that she has turned into a franchisor with 3 franchisees and 5 more in the works, she knows that her franchisees need to offer popular flavors based on where they're located. What is popular in our Arizona location may not be as popular in a Kansas City store, which is based in a residential mall and serves mostly moms and their kids. So although we have approved flavors, we definitely want them to figure out what is going to sell in their area based on things like the location, the weather, and the clientele. Pretty interesting, I guess.
It's very interesting, yeah. It makes a lot of sense. I was talking about that last night in my marketing class. We were talking about Campbell's. They came out with this nacho dip, Don. And in the Northeast, the customers thought that it was too spicy. But in the Southwest, the customers thought it wasn't spicy enough, you know. So it's
right.
Very true, you know, how you mentioned that. That's fantastic.
It goes further. Jenny Garrett, CEO of Texas-based Woodhouse Day Spa, a business with 23 franchises, says that franchisees are given local options over the kinds of inventory they carry in their spas. We have our core and optional Woodhouse-approved lines, and they can submit local options for us for approval. Says Gary expects to grow the company several more over the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on, how to give your franchise a personal touch, knock their socks off. One of the most straightforward aspects any franchisee can personalize about his or her business is the service.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking customer socks off with superior or friendlier service than they find elsewhere is probably the best and most rewarding way to personalize a franchise.
Right.
Says Reed Newbert, a marketing and branding expert based in California. Being proactive where appropriate and following up in a personal way are unexpected and welcome customer service improvements. He also says you can also make the business as welcoming as possible, such as focusing on neatness, cleanliness, decor, holiday decorations, landscaping, as long as what you do adheres to the franchise brand guidelines.
Right. Wow. That's a powerful quote, isn't it? I mean, again, we've been talking a lot about that, but you know, it's a great topic. How does a franchise distinguish themselves from other franchisees? And sometimes something so simple, Don, is just like knowing your customers' names. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you can do that, you know, I mean, if someone came in and say, "Hey, Don, how you doing today? How are your kids?" You know, and things like that. There are ways that some franchisees can outperform other franchisees, even though both follow the same exact system and do the same thing. I think there are little things you can do without changing the system that can kind of, you know, help
right,
you
especially
excel
during these times where,
mm-hmm.
I mean, unfortunately, a lot of companies don't provide good service, whether it's a
it's
retail
so
or a service business. You don't get callbacks. A lot of times companies don't even do the basics, being friendly on the phone, you know, doing what you say you're going to do. I've been a business owner 20 years. It's amazing how much of that goes on where people don't follow up who are, you know, who you're calling for their service or you call there, they don't sound too friendly.
Right.
This is going back a bit, but do you remember we had Jersey Mike's Subs franchise on? And I just remember because Jersey Mike's started here in New Jersey.
That's right.
And I remember he really emphasized why did Jersey Mike's grow? It was people going into their local sub shop and you know, and then
that's
the owner,
right.
And you know other people, you know the owner. It's a real friendly type place. You're not only going there to get a good product, I guess, and a service, but you're going to a place where, you know, you know you're going to get the same type of treatment, which is good treatment. And like you said, they probably know your name.
They make the customers feel welcome. I remember that, too, with Jersey Mike's. And wasn't there another place, too? Was it Moe's? Like when you walk in the place, was it?
Right.
They say, welcome to Moe's, or they scream, you know?
Right,
I went into a pizza place 2 weeks ago. Of course, I'd never say the name, but it was a pizza place around here. But I walk in, and the guy is just standing there, doesn't say hi or anything, you know? And I'm waiting there for like 3 to 5 minutes to place my order. But, I mean, the least you expect is to, you know, say hi or something, you know what I mean? And,
right, but were you smiling, Marty? Sometimes you're kind of intimidating. Were you smiling?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the littlest things, like just saying hi, you know what I mean, and thank you and you're welcome. And I said to Connie, I said, I'm never going back to that place again, you know? I mean,
right.
I think it's the little things that count. And this is a powerful article. I'm glad we're talking about this because there are ways, especially during these times, that you can separate yourself from the competition, you know?
Right.
And, it's
it talks about other ways to give that personal touch. It says run a campaign. Most franchisors encourage their franchisees to come up with creative ways to market their product or service. For example, one Express franchisee handed out gifts to potential clients that corresponded with the 12 Days of Christmas, a campaign that eventually went national. It wasn't a fancy idea, but it works really well. Case in point, we have had 1,500 similar campaigns ordered by franchisees for the holiday season. Similarly, a Yogurtini franchisee ran a promotion in partnership with the Victoria's Secret where customers were donated a piece of clothing, received a 20% discount on the frozen yogurt. Our franchisees are the experts in their local markets, and we want to give them a say in how they reach out to their customers. I guess more than ever during tough times, you got to be creative, and I guess that's what some of these people are doing.
Yeah, this is, I mean, one of the many reasons I love franchising too, Don, is because you're part of a club, you're part of a network, and you get to kind of share best practices, you know, because I think, you know, the recession or the economy is really is throughout the United States. And I like the fact that a lot of franchisees can get together, you know, whether it's through meetings or teleconferences, whatever it may be, and kind of share best practices and talk about what they did. A lot of times they're very willing to do that, you know what I mean? So a Subway in Detroit is willing to share some things that worked particularly well with a Subway in perhaps Miami. You know, again, it
right.
may not work. But in most cases, it does. So you're joining this club, and you're sharing best practices with you know, hundreds of individuals. Sometimes there's things that don't work, you know.
Those right.
things, coupons or, you know, a type of mailing or coupon in the newspaper. It didn't work particularly well. So,
right.
these are great things about franchising. I mean, that's just one of the hundreds of things that we've spoken about on the show.
Going on further, it says, as far as giving a personal touch, you can run a campaign, you can hold an event. Here's something saying to express yourself online. The rise of social media tools available to business owners such as Facebook, Twitter, and blogs has given franchisees a whole roster of new options to connect with their customers on a personal level. Our franchisees blog and create a personalized mom-and-pop feel to their business by blogging about their projects, Facebooking with photos of wraps and tweeting about their new deals, clients, and prospects, says Mike Enos, owner of FastWrap, a company with 60 franchises that offers mobile wrapping for foreclosed homes, stalled construction projects, and other vehicles. This way, clients and prospects can stay in engaged with the day-to-day workings of the business, and they feel like they have a more personal relationship with the business owner.
Right.
So there's all kinds of things you can do. Maybe, a lot that's not specified by the franchisor, but you have to check it out with them. And then it was interesting
right.
in this other example how they actually went national through the franchisor. They thought it was such a good idea.
Well, the most famous example, of course, being, I guess, the Filet-O-Fish, right, was
right.
created by a franchisee, I guess, in response to Lent, you know, where, you know, back in our parents' day particularly, you know, a lot of people didn't eat meat on Fridays, especially during that time. So McDonald's, of course, their sales were down on that Friday, so they had to come up with something different on that particular day, and it was one of their franchisees that came out with the Filet-O-Fish. Now, he couldn't have done that on his own, of course, particularly with McDonald's,
right.
forget it, they'd kill him. But he did approach the company. I think he actually approached Ray Kroc with this idea, or it was a contest even. And, they went forward with that. And the Filet-O-Fish is a very popular sandwich. It's still around today, isn't it? So,
yep.
You just have to, you know, as you said, Don, you just have to check with the franchisor and use the word relationship, you know, and trust is very important in all these things, you know. So it's a very powerful article. It's just, you know, one of my favorite articles that you've read in a long time because I think it's
that
so
That says
important.
A lot. I've been doing this 4 years. That's excellent.
There you go. You know, well... You keep doing it. You keep getting better and better at this. You know? So, but that's something. We could do this. Our guest hasn't called in yet, but why don't we do this? We could take a break, and then I'm hoping that by the end of the break he'll call in, and we'll talk to Richie. So we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Coming up in segment two, they are voted in the top 2% of the fastest growing franchises out of 3,000 franchise concepts in the country, and was recently ranked fourth overall on the 2010 Franchise Times Fast 55 list for its high average unit growth. We're meeting with Matt Ritchie, Executive Vice President of the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, coming up in segment two.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneurs one on one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And our guest hasn't called in yet, Don, so why don't we continue talking about... There was an article, I don't know if you've seen this one. It was in Bloomberg Business Week. It's called Where Aspiring Franchisees Wash the Toilets. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
You haven't? Okay. It was funny because we were just talking about Moe's Southwest Grill. Because Paul D'Amico of Moe's Southwest Grill, I don't even know if we had, we might even have Paul on the show, explains why would-be franchisees must undergo a month-long underpaid internship for 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. And the article is by Karen Klein. Listen to some of this, Don. It says, in 2009, Paul D'Amico faced a happy conundrum. More than 2,000 well-capitalized individuals were lined up to buy franchise outlets at Moe's Southwest Grill, a fast casual restaurant franchisor, where D'Amico is president. Many of these would-be entrepreneurs had cash but no experience in food service or franchising. Rather than take their money and hope they learned on the job, D'Amico set up a restaurant internship program designed to separate the serious from the speculators. He spoke about the program recently with Smart Answers columnist Karen Klein, who writes for the magazine. Let's see what she says here. I'm going to have to just scroll down a bit. Karen E. Klein, Moe's was founded in 2000. Okay, so this is like an interview. And acquired by Focus Brands in 2007. Tell us about Focus Brands. And Paul D'Amico says, Focus is the franchisor and operator of several national outlets, including Carvel, Cinnabon, and Schlotzky's. The corporation generates $1.1 billion in total revenue from 2,200 franchise businesses. It wasn't that long ago that we had these guys on the show, right? Focus?
Right, yeah, just recently.
Okay. Question. The franchise industry typically puts new owners through company training before they open their own outlets. Why add a restaurant internship program? And Paul's response is, we created and invested this program 18 months ago, and because we had so many applications from individual entrepreneurs, some of them wanted to do multi-store deals, and they had experience in the business world for 20 years or more, so we wanted to convert them into franchisees. But lots of them did not understand the financial implications of the restaurant industry and what it takes to spend 10 hours a day dealing with the public and preparing food. It's a tremendous amount of work, but if you put your heart into it, you can have a great business. This is pretty interesting, isn't it?
If you think about it,
it makes a lot of sense to... have the franchisee, I think, work in the business 10 hours a day. And when you're in the restaurant business, you're doing a lot of different things, aren't you?
Especially starting out, a lot of different hats you wear. And, you know, with a franchise, you're making a long-term commitment. You want to make sure you're really going to enjoy the work you're doing, because if you don't, it's eventually going to catch up to you.
Yeah, I've mentioned this on several shows, but remember Aaron's rental?
Rent.
Did that.
Yeah.
They had their prospective franchisees, in order to own an Aaron's franchise opportunity, you had to work in it for 3 weeks. So you have to actually go to the store, work there for 3 weeks. Then after that, conversation would continue if you were interested. But I said, wow, what a great way to really get to know or have a better understanding of the franchise. You know, because a lot of times I think when people are buying a franchise opportunity, they might be buying it on the basis of, like, they're a customer to, like, a Subway or a McDonald's, whatever it may be. But they haven't actually worked on the other side of the business, you know, and I think that's so important to really get a good feel and find out, you know what, maybe this is not for you. You know, it's, I mean, when you look at the brochures and you look at the websites and you hear different testimonials, I think a lot of people get very excited. I see that at the franchise shows, you know, how excited some prospective franchisees are, you know.
Yeah, because people get drawn and say, hey, they're, you know, owning a business, being my own boss, it's going to be great, it's going to be wonderful. They don't, I guess it's human nature not to realize, well, you know, I better make sure I'm committed, that this is going to be hard work, it's not going to be easy for the first couple of years, I have to follow the system, I'm not in business by myself, but if I do everything they say and I work hard, there's a, you know, better chance that I'll be successful and be profitable quicker and all the stuff that comes along with franchise.
It's true. Listen to this. So it says, how many people have participated so far in this program? So that's the question. Response, we have five people in the program now and four who have already gone through. Our first graduate just opened a restaurant in Chicago and is looking at a second location. How do prospective franchisees react to the requirement that they spend a month working in the trenches for free? They're thankful that we have the program to support our initiatives. If we didn't have a program like this, they wouldn't qualify to become a franchisee. So we're providing an opportunity for them, and we're able to sell more franchises to highly qualified people. I think this really goes one step further in determining if it's a match. You know, a lot of times you were using the word earlier that franchising is a relationship. And, you know, I used to say it was like a marriage, but I guess it's really not like a marriage because it's not a 50-50 relationship. And what I mean by that is at the end of the day, it's really the franchisor that has the final word or the final say, don't they? I mean, they're still
Is it sort of the same in marriage, though, when doesn't the wife have most of the say? I mean, I think you're on track with
that. I was going to say, is that your marriage? Or But it's true. It is a relationship. And I think it's kind of like, you remember one of our guests, and it's on our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast, he was saying that you should date a little before
getting into a franchise.
And I thought that was so brilliant how he phrased that, because it just made so much sense. You know, it's before you're going to get married, you know, date them. You know,
right.
See if you like them. And I wonder, Don, if more franchises are going to do something like this, you know, because a lot of franchises do steal ideas from other franchisors. You know what I mean? They say, wow, I never actually thought about doing something like that. So this is a good idea. Let's go a little further. So it says, these entrepreneurs have to prove that they have $300,000 in liquid assets and $1 million net worth. How do they respond to jobs like mopping restrooms? The response, it's new to them and a little bit of a shock, but that's the goal of the program. We want people who are willing to wash toilets two or three times a day. We want people who can talk to customers and get out and talk to the community. And that's a big part of what a lot of our guests have been saying on the show throughout the years, haven't they, Don? Is it's important to be able to get out into the community and you know, get yourself out there. And if you're not good at that, if you don't like doing that, then there's going to be a lot of franchise opportunities that you should probably stay away from. You know, if you're more shy and more introverted, then that's not going to be for you, because if that's an important part of the system, then you're really going to have to follow that. Listen to this. Oh, God, wow, this is a nice segue. Every time someone walks into our restaurants, we yell out, "Welcome to Moe's." It's a brand differentiator that we own, but not everyone is comfortable doing it. Again, how would you feel, Don, doing that? You know, if you owned the Moe's franchise, I don't see you being too shy.
Right.
Saying something like that, you know. But I know people who would be, you know, that wouldn't enjoy that aspect of the business, you know. So, and again, it's something so small. But you were talking earlier about making people feel welcome. And what a way to make people feel welcome. This is, you know, when you customers come into the restaurant, always say hello. The first thing I was taught, I don't know if I ever told you this story, in my college years, I went to bartending school, and the first thing they taught me was not how to make a drink, but how to greet customers. You know, and at that time of my life, it didn't make much sense. I said, you know, what are they doing? I want to learn how to make drinks. You know, and I remember the instructor saying how important that is. If you want to make money doing this, you're going to have to make people feel welcome. You know, and that always stuck with me. You know. You know, for the last 20 years, is just making people feel welcome.
Right.
It says, has anyone dropped out? We had one person wash out. That person was a very bright individual, but he was completely disengaged and could not deliver the level of guest service we look for. Fortunately, because it's a non-paid internship and no legal paperwork is signed, it's easy for either side to back out. That's great, isn't it? That situation happened, because picture this, Don, if that guy did go forward with buying that Moe's franchise opportunity, didn't sound like he was going to be an ideal franchisee, right, for that particular,
right.
that particular type of system. So what a way to kind of screen prospective franchisees is make them work for a month in the business, you know, for free. You know, so.
Right.
Kind of interesting. Let's see. One more question. It says, what are your expansion goals for the future? We're selling in 34 states now and just opened 5 more. We hope to have 420 locations by the end of this year, and we plan to add 100 more every year for the next 5 years. So that's a good interview. There's an actual blog on there, too, so I can actually get involved in that, talking about that, because, again, I think that's a it's a fantastic program.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Did you have any other articles you want to – did you have one more in your archives or
– Yeah. This is an article, Marty. Business on Main is who I found it through. Winning the Franchise Prize by Tody Guttner. Interested in becoming a franchise owner? Get ready for some competition. There's been a surge in applications from laid-off executives to military personnel who've returned home thanks to the economic downturn. Many entrepreneurs love the challenge of owning their own business, yet are drawn to owning franchises because of the security that comes from tapping into an existing, recognizable consumer brand. Owning a franchise is like going into business for yourself but not by yourself. And that was said by Alyssa Harrison, who we've quoted like hundreds of times on the show.
Right.
She's the VP of Communications for the IFA. It's a win-win business model for both franchisor and franchisee if the franchisee understands the investment. Companies grow more quickly in exchange for providing entrepreneurs with training, marketing, support, and established business systems. But entrepreneurs pay an initial franchise fee anywhere from $5,000 to $2 million, like for McDonald's, for example. But franchises average in the $100,000 to $200,000 range and additional royalty fees. They also shoulder all the other costs of running a business. So what does it take to find the right business for you and win the franchise deal? We asked two successful franchise owners how they did it. The first guy, Marty, is this guy, Jeff Bolin. He owns a Duty Calls in Columbia, South Carolina. It says, I found this opportunity from a real-world problem. I own two dogs, had two kids, and my wife said she couldn't use the backyard anymore. Turns out I had read an article about a guy who found money in dog poop. You know, and this is an actual article, Marty.
That's amazing.
So I submitted an online inquiry to Duty Calls, a pet waste removal service, and one of their competitors. Duty Calls responded the next day with a brief telephone conversation to gauge my interest. A more informative phone call followed. They then emailed me an application with questions like, why do you see yourself as a good owner? How can you make it succeed? Do you think it'll happen overnight? This is pretty incredible. The guy's walking his dog. Dog goes to the bathroom,
lots of opportunity.
And it hits him like, hey, you know, that can beat my business.
That's the sign of a true entrepreneur, isn't it? They're always and they see things differently than
right.
Non-entrepreneurs. It's fascinating.
There were about 5 phone calls over a month and a half. Each gave me more insight into the company. They were filtering out those who wouldn't be a good fit. Those were two candidates in my area. I think they base their selection on what your past work ethic is and what you've been able to do in business, though not necessarily in the pet industry. Then I went to corporate headquarters for a one-day meeting with the owners. That was when I had to deliver the final push as to why I can make this succeed. Within 2 days, they asked me to put up the money. I never let anything slip and responded as quickly as possible. There really is a lot of time involved, but you need to stay on top of the process. So, you know, this is kind of interesting, not the, you know, the specific type of business he's in, because this proves that anything can really become a franchise. But here's someone where I guess a lot of times the franchisor, as they're considering you for a franchisee, just to see if you can follow steps and go through the process for you to get approved. If they're not getting callbacks, if you're not filling out an application, you know, you're missing the scheduled phone calls, you're not going to visit them, why would the franchisor want to have you in their system? So, I mean, it was like a mini job in itself, just going through the process. But, you know, but in the end, it's probably worth it.
Right. I know it's true. I'm familiar with this story, and I remember the first time I heard something about this, I thought it was amazing. Mary Jo said something interesting last week. You know, she said anything can be franchised, but should it be franchised? You know, that's
right.
That's the question. You know, like, we could franchise this show if we want to, but, you know, should we? You know, I remember
when
we had
Kevin Hines.
Well,
if dog poop can be a franchise, I think really anything can be.
That's going to be your reference.
Are we on the same page with that?
For anything going forward. It's interesting. It makes a lot of sense, if you think about it, why you can turn this into a franchise. If you remember, we had Kevin Hine, franchise attorney, on our show several years ago. He said something great. He said, you know, the best franchises, Don, are franchises that are simple. They're easy to duplicate or easy to replicate, you know.
Right.
This is something that's easy to duplicate, right? I mean, if you think about it.
Right.
Where, let's say, like a five-star restaurant, not so easy to duplicate.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you think about Subway, when you walk into one, it's a pretty simple concept. It's not, let's say, very sophisticated. The food is good, you know, but it's very, very simple, if you think about it. It's not much to it. It's, of course, gotten a lot more advanced throughout the years.
Right.
But this is something that's so basic, and yeah, why not? You know, and he thought about it and think about the market. I got to tell you a story. I mean, my in-laws took, and I always say the baby, Martin. It was about, you know, this 3 weeks ago. They took him over the weekend. You know, gave us, Connie and I, like a little break, and so we're walking through our neighborhood. This is really nice over here because we're up on a mountain, you know. So like taking a walk in this area is really beautiful. The scenery is amazing. So we haven't taken a walk in probably like about a whole year, you know, because just walking with him is a nightmare. And so we're walking up the hill. Of course, what do you think I step in? You know, it's just and this is like a mile into our walk, you know. So I mean, you can imagine how long that walk was, you know, because you just can't get that smell off you, you know. So
right.
It's an important surface. I think it's you know, and again, people are supposed to pick up, by the way, of course,
right.
In most neighborhoods, you know. In fact, I think it's like $1,000 fine if you don't. But
yeah.
I think this type of business makes sense. You know, I think we should, you know, try to get these guys on the show at some point because I think they'd be an amazing interview. It could be our highest rated show yet. You know, it's like, who knows, you know. So
we'll definitely get on that. I think I would like to have them on the show. The article goes on, Marty. This guy, Jack Nickel, not Jack Nicholson, just Jack Nickel.
Okay.
And he owns a Bright Star Care in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my wife and I ran a manufacturing business for 27 years, sold it in 2006. We had accumulated enough cash to retire, but lost some in the stock market downturn. So we could either burn through our money or we can be proactive and build another business. We start off by going to a franchise show in Miami and working with a coach who introduced us to 6 to 8 opportunities. Then we were introduced to Bright Star, a newborn and elderly care franchise. We were impressed with the screening process, 41 days with 7 different steps, including daily questions about your business sense. They had to be satisfied with the answers at each step for you to make it to the next one. They also gave us a psychological quiz in addition to the resume we sent to prove our net worth. If you get through the process, you're invited to Chicago to meet management. We spent 3 days there where we asked a lot of questions, toured the corporate offices, talked to people in training. Bright Star told us that there were people looking to buy the same South Florida territory, so we sped up our application along. They were 100% convinced that we were a good fit. We had over 40 years of business experience and could financially support the effort until it could support itself. We signed the contract and bought the area comprised of a number of zip codes. Looking back, we probably underestimated the business startup time and the challenge of learning an entirely new industry. We're glad we made the decision, though, since we love doing what we're doing. And it goes on, tips from successful franchise owners. Research and explore all opportunities, including competitors.
Right.
Be patient and expect to invest time and money. It's an established brand, but you are not buying a customer base. Have an open mind and know what to expect. You are the cog in the wheel that has to make it go.
Mm-hmm.
Go with the franchisor that makes you feel best.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple tips at the end, but with this person at Bright Star, I imagine that's happening a lot with, unfortunately, what's gone on in the country the last couple of years with the economy. Some people have
right.
had to go back to work, you know, many people,
mm-hmm.
or maybe start up a business, and that's what happened to these people. But you know, this brought up a good point. When you start up a business, really just, you know, give yourself some time. It's a few months to go through the process before you can start up of deciding which franchise and then doing your due diligence, going through the approval process, opening up. If you're renting, leasing space, that can take a month or two before you can find that location and open up. If you need financing, you have to make sure you're fine financially going through the process. And then once you open, just make sure you have a nest egg, so to speak, like what these people had, which is maybe why they got the approval. They had time to ramp up the business and do it correctly and not have that pressure of needing to draw salary soon into the franchise startup.
Yeah, it's true. You said something interesting, Don, in that article, and I think it's a misperception when a lot of people are getting into franchise. You said you're not buying a customer base. I think sometimes when people buy into a franchise, do you think that they're buying into a customer base where they think that the customers are kind of just going to come walking in the door as soon as they open up the franchise, you know what I mean? Because somebody may frequent a Subway or a McDonald's, but you really...
Well, there's no doubt about that. That's definitely going to happen when you have those more established big-name franchises, that right? That's
right.
Why you're buying a franchise. They're going to, you know, they're going to have a certain amount of people that didn't have to be marketed to. They just saw your location and came in, but you can't rely on 100% of that.
Right, but it's not like buying an existing franchise, you know, and again, that's something I'd like to talk about in 2011. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Say 2011.
Right.
About, you know, the possibilities of buying an existing franchise opportunity. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about that, you know, and I think it would be an interesting topic because in that particular case, you are buying a customer base.
Right. Yeah, well, and I do this all the time through Diamond Financial. I've been, you know, 11 years in franchising and with financing, and that is sometimes a dilemma that people have. Do I go with a startup?
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, how long is it going to take for me to be profitable? Or do I buy an existing location? Now, sometimes that existing location is going to have been in business a few years. It's going to have a customer base, be profitable. That's going to cost more. But you're going to have that cash flow right from the start to offset maybe the additional cost. Sometimes they take over a franchise that's a little distressed or had some issues or problems, that the owner was sick or was absentee ownership. It didn't go as well, so it's open, but it's not profitable. So you can buy it at a discount. But is there a reason why that place was not successful? Was there a problem with the site or the local market for that? There's a lot of different things you have to consider.
Take into consideration. Yeah, no, those are excellent points. That's fantastic. Well, I think we covered a lot of areas today, Don, you know, that I think our listeners are going to benefit. So good show, you know. Even though our guest didn't call in, I think it turned out to be, you know, you and I want to do this all the time where we get the opportunity to speak a little bit more, you know.
The time went quickly.
Fast, you know.
Yeah.
So, and again, we have another great show next week. And thanks for listening. And go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. And I'll be speaking to you next week, Don.
Have a great day, Marty.
Good job. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
On the cover of a matchbook, no bread, please forgive what I have done alone. You see, you left me on the altar with a...
Hello?